Praise the Lord. We thank God for this wonderful time together in His presence. This is His house. He has brought us into His place of fellowship, and it's so wonderful for us to come through once a week, and we just praise and worship Him. When we look at the weeks, we look at the week when we started, and we look at how the Lord has protected us, how the Lord has provided for us, how He has brought solutions when we needed answers. We realize how great He is to us. At times we may not be where we want to be, but when we look back and remember what the Lord has done for us, we realize how much He has done for us. So we really give God praise for this wonderful opportunity that we have to come into the house of the Lord. We are continuing with the message we started last week. The title: We Have a Spiritual Reality. As people of God, we forget that our lives are not just limited to what we experience naturally. The Bible teaches us that God created this world, or He created the earth. After creating the earth, He made sure that the earth was ready for man to live in the earth. He even prepared a garden. Only after He prepared a garden, then He brought man. That is how God plans. That is how He works. And that is how much He takes care of His people. He will never bring us to a place where we are not ready. Or He will never bring us to a place where He will demand more of us, more than what we can deliver. And He will never bring us to a place where He has not sent His supply. His supply will always go before us. Now, at times, we restrict Him in how we get the supply, and that is how we miss it. And now this message is meant to help us then to understand that we should not be limited to what we see in the natural. I may look at myself and look around me. When I look around, it may look as if this is it, this is me, this is all that I have. This message is saying you are wrong if you think like that. This message is saying there is a spiritual reality. You live in that spiritual reality. And if you do not access that spiritual reality, then you become limited to the natural. The Bible says we have angels that have been sent to serve us. If we do not speak the word of God, the angels of God cannot go into action because they only respond to the word of God. So we have great servants that are at our service. At any time, we can call on them. That's what the Bible says. And we may not experience that if we do not access the spiritual reality. Now, last week, we looked at Elisha. And we looked at him speaking to his servant when they were surrounded by a great army. Elijah said to his servant, he said, "Those that are with us are more than they." Servant of Elijah said, "No, how is that possible?" And the Bible says, then Elisha prayed and he said, "Lord, open his eyes." And when the Lord opened his eyes, he could see chariots of fire surrounding them. And our point last week was, when did those chariots of fire appear? Were they there before the servant's eyes were opened, or they only showed up when his eyes opened? And when we read the book of Psalm 34, verse 7, it says the angel of the Lord encompasses around the righteous. So Elisha lived believing that the angels of the Lord are always around them. So he did not need to see the angels of the Lord for him to believe that they were surrounding them. He did not have to experience it in the natural, but he knew that in the spiritual realm, there are angels. that are surrounding us. And that is why with boldness, he prayed, Father, open his eyes. And the Bible tells us that the Lord opened the young man's eyes and he saw them. The Bible then says, then Elisha prayed and said, Lord, heal them with blindness. And when he healed those guys with blindness, then he led them to the center of Jerusalem where they could be killed. That's the authority that we have. We as the believers, but we do not use it. But now we understand that they did not kill those people. They showed grace towards them and they released them. And the Bible says because they decided to deal with those people according to God's grace, the enemy stopped harassing Israel. And we were saying, if we follow the word of the Lord, God will give us permanent solutions. At times we look for quick fix. And we do not allow the Lord to give us a permanent solution. And we suffer because the quick fix comes to a point where it stops working. And that is where then we need to learn to follow his leading. God, what are you saying? And as we do what he tells us to do, the Bible says, then we will experience permanent solutions from him. The Bible says the way of the righteous becomes better and better. That is God's promise. That is God's word to us. So our lives need to improve from glory to another level of glory. That's God's promise for us. And now we can stand on that word and declare that word. As we declare that word, the Bible says we are setting the angels free to go into action, to bring to pass the promise of God. The promise of God will only happen as we speak the word of God. The angels of the Lord hearken to the voice of the Lord. Who is the voice of the Lord on earth? We are. As we speak the word of God, we are the voice of God on earth. Then the angels of God go into action. That is the reality that we have. We have a spiritual reality. Today we will continue on this message. The emphasis today is on the fact that when you pray, God answers immediately. When you pray, God answers immediately. And what happens then is in the spiritual realm, what you've asked for comes to pass. But in the natural, it may not be there immediately. Because we live in the natural realm, when we ask and pray, God answers immediately. And in the spiritual realm, things happen immediately. But in the natural, they may not show up immediately. That is why we have verses like Mark chapter 11, verse 24. The word says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. Whatsoever thing that you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. When do you receive them? When you pray. You don't wait until, here it is in the natural, and then you say, I have received. No. Believe that you receive them immediately when you pray. That is how God deals with us. Because in the spiritual realm, it is a done deal. God answers immediately. Things may not appear immediately in the natural. And this verse continues, it says, and you will. Where does that put it now? Let's put it in the future. And you will have them. So, if you have prayed, you have asked for anything from God, know that the day that you prayed, God answered you. And if you stick with the promise of God, You do not let go of the promise of God. You know that that thing will come to pass. You do not wait on God anymore. You engage your spiritual reality. You use the word. You speak forth the word of God, because that is how you get the angels of God to get into action, to move and do things for you. You engage the angels of God by speaking the word of God, by praising the Lord. As you praise and you declare in the spiritual realm, you are declaring victory for the Lord and defeat for the enemy, and you are freeing the angels of the Lord. That is why the Bible says after you have prayed, then you must enter into thanksgiving. Thank God for what he has given to you, because in the spiritual realm, that which you've asked for is there. Amen. It may not have appeared in the natural yet, but it is there already. Hallelujah. That is the promise that we have. When you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Check this out. It says he has. It's in the past. It is in the past. It doesn't say that God will give us everything that pertains to life and godliness. No. It says his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So all things that pertain to life and godliness already exist. Where? In the supernatural realm. All the provisions that we need are already in the spiritual realm. That's why we are saying we have a spiritual realm. Let us keep that in mind. Let us not walk as if we are people who do not know God, that are just restricted to the natural. When things come your way, do not just depend on your strength. Call on the supernatural reality that you have. Call on it. Speak the word of God. Engage the angels of God. Allow them to go into action. Don't have them just sitting and doing nothing. My wife used to have a weird testimony, according to me. She used to talk about the grace of God and how the angels of God work for him. She would talk about the times being someplace and she forgot to lock up the car. And she would say, I keep God's angels very busy. For me, there is understanding that I am not just dependent on the natural. They are angels of God. She did not do it intentionally. And you must understand that. Jesus said, you shall not test the Lord your God. When the devil came and said to him, jump down and kill yourself. No, you do not test the Lord. But know that if it happened by mistake, that you do something wrong, count on the angels of the Lord. Count on them catching you as you fall. Count on them ensuring that you are safe. Count on them bringing the stuff that you need. I did not cause that thing to come my way. I'm counting on the grace of God to provide those things to me. The Bible says all these things that pertain to life and godliness have already been given to me. He has given them to us. That's the truth. It's the truth. And when you go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, the word says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So how come you have everything? Now the Bible says in Christ lives in us. The spiritual realm is in our belly. It's not up there. It's in our belly. Christ in you. He is the hope of glory. In Christ, everything is there. everything that we need. So what happens then is, once we have received Christ, we have the solution to every challenge that we may have. That's the truth. I want to show you two examples from one man who prayed to God. God immediately responded with an answer, but the manifestation didn't happen immediately. Because I want us to understand the spiritual realm. The fact that things happen in the spiritual realm that at times we are not aware of. And as long as we stand on the word of God, we must be sure, we must be assured of the fact that God has answered us. He has given us that we want. It may not appear immediately, but time will come when that will manifest. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on His promises. He is faithful. Praise the Lord. Let's look at the first example. We'll read from the book of Daniel, chapter 9. We'll read verses 1 to 6, but then we'll skip and go to verse 20 and then just finish off the story. Now, this is the story of Daniel. He is praying. Let's read. It was the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede, the son of Ahasuerus, who became king of the Babylonians. During the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, learned from reading the word. Check that out. This man is going to pray. It is not because he received a voice. It is not because somebody came and prophesied a fresh word to say this is what is going to happen. He just went to a written word of God. And he saw what was promised in the written word. That is why you and I go to the Bible and we take every promise that is in the Bible. We take it to be ours. I don't need a prophecy to be told that this is the word of the Lord. God can use a prophecy to confirm what I believe already. But I can just take the word of God and run with that word. This is what we're seeing here. So he said he was reading from the word of the Lord as revealed to Jeremiah the prophet that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. I also wore rough burlap and sprinkled myself with ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, you are a great and awesome God. You always fulfill your covenant and keep your promises of unfailing love to those who love you and obey your commands. But we have sinned and done wrong. We have rebelled against you and scorned your commands and regulations. Verse 6. We have refused to listen to you, to your servants, the prophets, who spoke on your authority to our kings and princes and ancestors and to all the people of the land. And he continues talking about how they have rebelled against God. And then we get to verse 20. He's still praying, goes on until verse 19. Now we join here in verse 20. He says, I went on praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, pleading with the Lord my God for Jerusalem, his holy mountain. Now this is critical. Jesus Christ had not come on earth as yet. So God, people were experiencing things because they rebelled against the word of the Lord. And the Bible talks about them having to go and confess their sins. When they confessed their sins and they were saying, God, we are turning to you. Then the Bible says, then God would then turn the situation and give them what they wanted. That is what we see every time when we repent. The word repent means change your mind. That is all that that word means. Change your mind. So these guys then, what is happening here, he is praying and he's changing his mind. He's saying, God, we have rebelled against you. We don't want to rebel against you anymore. And Lord, I'm praying as well for my nation as well. I'm repenting on their behalf as well, Father. I'm standing before you. I'm praying. That's what he was doing. Verse 21 says, as I was praying, Gabriel, that's an angel now, whom I had seen in the earlier vision, came swiftly to me at the time of the evening sacrifice. And he explained to me, Daniel, I have come here to give you insight and understanding. Verse 23, this is very important. Check this out. The moment you began praying, a command was given. The moment you began praying, the command was given. So when did God answer this man? He answered him the moment he began praying. So while he was still praying, confessing what they had done wrong, what the nation had done and all that, the angel was already on the way with the answer. But we can understand that that angel didn't appear immediately to Daniel. The Bible tells us that the angel only appeared when? At the time of the evening sacrifice. So in other words, if you look at his prayer, you can assume that perhaps his prayer took about what? 3 minutes, plus or minus 3 minutes, up to where we are now. And then he says, the angel then came swiftly. So in other words, it took about 3 minutes for the angel. I'm not saying exactly, okay? I'm just estimating. If you look at the prayer and if you take that prayer and you read it, it will take about 3 minutes or so. That's, you know, the maximum. So only then the angel showed up. But when the angel shows up, he says what? The moment you began praying, a command was given. And now I am here to tell you what it was. For you are very precious to God. Listen carefully so that you can understand the meaning of your vision. So only after about 3 minutes or so, the answer came. Can you see the spiritual realm? What happened? When he prayed, God answered immediately. But the angel didn't arrive there immediately. That's what I'm trying to show you. So now, here we see that God answers us immediately. The provision gets dispatched immediately. It took the angel about 3 minutes to get to Daniel with the answer. That's the first example that we have. Now let's look at the second example. Daniel chapter 10. Verses 1 up to 14. The Bible says, in the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, no longer the Medes now, it's the Persian. You will understand as we continue, maybe when we get a chance to talk about the role of the Medes and the Persians. So now this is King Cyrus of Persia. Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, had another vision. He understood that the vision concerned events certain to happen in the future. Times of war and great hardship. When this vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 whole weeks. This is interesting. This man of God is praying and he's fasting for 3 whole weeks. And at the end of the third week, that's when this vision came through. Let's read verse 3. It says, all that time I had eaten no rich food. Now this, if you've heard of Daniel fast, this is what we're talking about. So he had not eaten rich food, no meat or wine crossed my lips for that period, and I used no fragrant lotion until those 3 weeks had passed. Now when you talk about Daniel fast, you're talking about where you're not fasting completely. You don't, it's not that you don't eat anything. You can eat your veggies or whatever. You don't eat meat or whatever. As the Lord leads you. That's the important thing. Verse 4. On April the 23rd, as I was standing on the bank of the great Tigris River, I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning, and his eyes flamed like torches. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. Only I, Daniel, saw this vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified and ran away. So I was left there all alone to see this amazing vision. My strength left me. My face grew deathly pale, and I felt very weak. Then I heard the man speak, and when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted and lay there with my face to the ground. Just then a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling to my hands and knees. And the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God. You remember those words? Came earlier as well. You are very precious to the Lord. And the Bible says God is not a respecter of persons. God was not saying this only to Daniel. God says the same to all of us. Because Jesus Christ died for all of us. We are not precious before God because of what we have done. We are precious before God because we are now called by the name of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. So don't look down upon yourself. Don't feel as if I'm the second great citizen in the kingdom of God. No. You are precious to God. Praise the Lord. You're precious to God. So listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling. Then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray. Can you see the story again? Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. We see something here. The man is praying from day one. When he starts fasting and praying, the angel of the Lord is dispatched from day one. But it took 21 days for that angel to get to him. And why? There was a force, a spiritual force that withstood the angel of the Lord. Now, we need to understand that this happened in the old covenant. Now, you and I, we don't need to go through what Daniel had to go through to have the angel of the Lord come through to us. Remember, Jesus has been given a name above every other name. Names in heaven and names on earth. And under the earth, that's what the Bible says. So now what we can now do, we can pray and ask God to show us what is preventing the manifestation of what we're looking for. And then once we get that, if the Lord shows us that it's an angel or it's a demon, it's a devil that is preventing that thing from happening. Once we know, then we can speak directly to the devil and give him what? A command. And at the name of the Lord, he has to bow. We need to Keep that in mind. He had to pray and fast and hold on until the thing came to pass. But I'm saying, you and I now, we've got a different authority where we can pray. If something doesn't happen immediately, we say, God, show me what is wrong here. And then we can then take authority in the name of Jesus and have that thing come to pass. So now that is why then once you have prayed, when you are praying, you pray once, you ask once. And after that, then you bombard the enemy with the word of God, praising God, declaring the promise of God. If you have not come to understand as yet what is preventing that thing, take the word of God, take the scriptures that speak to that thing that you're looking for. Confess them, stand on the word of God. As you do that, you are applying the word of God against the enemy who may be blocking what you're looking for. So don't say, I'll wait until I get an answer or the Lord shows me what I need to do. Just go into the word of God. And as you go into the word of God, then you will see what the Lord will do. Praise the Lord. And verse 14. Now I am here to explain what will happen to your people in the future. For this version concerns a time yet to come. That's the story that we wanted to see here. The second thing that we see here is the fact that we have angels at our service. I've spoken about this from the beginning, where I said we must keep in mind that we don't just live on the natural. The angels of God are out there working for us. If you go to the Bible and you see what the angels did for people, know that the angels of God can do exactly the same thing for you. At times you may be wanting something to come your way, and somebody has to give that to you. The angels of the Lord can go and speak to those people. At times we sit and we wait on God, and we should not be waiting on God. We should be empowering our angels with our words. We should be taking the word of God and keep on declaring the word of God. Keep on declaring the promises of God. That is how we empower them, because they hearken only to what? To the voice of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 1. Verses 7 and 14, it's talking about Jesus. Verse 7 says, and on the angels he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. And then verse 14, it says, are they not all, look at that, all, in other words, all angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Can you see? Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for you and I. Bazalwane, we have angels. Are we engaging our angels? Are we benefiting from this great salvation? Psalm 103, verse 20. The Bible says, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength. Can you see? You don't have weak angels. You know, at times we draw angels with some things, I don't know, we call those wings, with the bow and an arrow. That's not a picture of an angel. We must understand that the angels that serve you and I are strong. They are mighty. They excel in strength. So there's nothing that goes beyond their strength. It says, who do his word? Can you see that? They do his word. The angel will not listen to you if you do not speak what the word of God says. You can confess until you become, I don't know what. But if it is not in the Bible, if it is not in the word, nothing will happen. The angels do his word. And then it says, heeding the voice of his word. The voice. Who's the voice here now? That would be you and I. The voice of his word. We are the people that speak forth the word of God. So that is what we have at our disposal, Bazalwane. So there is a spiritual realm. That spiritual realm, we have angels, agents. You can call them agents in some movies terms. They are ready to save you, but they listen only to the words that you speak. And Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. This is Paul now praying for Philemon. He says, I am praying that the sharing of your faith may become effective or effectual. How do you make your faith effective? How do you make your faith effectual? How do you make the communication of your faith or the sharing of your faith effectual? He says, by the acknowledgement of every good thing. Acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You remember we said Christ in us, the hope of glory. How do we make our faith to work? We make our faith to work by acknowledging every good thing. Now start thinking about the good things that God says are in Christ. When you start thinking about those things and you start confessing them, acknowledging them, understand, look at this. The Bible says acknowledge. You only acknowledge something that exists already. So your stance when you go before God in prayer, it is not to say create. You expect him to bring it to pass, but it's not to say that thing does not exist. The Bible says in Christ, everything is complete. Amen. That is what the word tells us. So acknowledging everything, everything that is in Christ. You need healing? Start acknowledging that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I was healed. You have a need in your life? Start confessing that. He supplies all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You need protection? Declare that the angel of the Lord encamps around me, protecting me. Amen. You need favor? Start declaring the favor of the Lord surrounds me like a shield. Amen. Acknowledge all that Christ has done for you. Amen. That is what we have as God's people. Now, in conclusion, everything is complete in Christ. Know that. Christ, the hope of glory, is in us. He's not going to get into us some other day, but he's already in us. We have everything we need in us. I'm just thinking now of a chicken. That chicken that has an egg inside it already. Time comes when the egg is laid and hatched and the chick comes out. Like a mother that is pregnant, the child, the life is already inside. So know that everything that you need is already in you. Amen. You're not trying to get things inside you. They are in you already. That's the mentality we need to have. And finally, we release what is in us by acknowledging it. I am the healed of the Lord. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm on top and not beneath. I come behind in no good thing. The favor of the Lord is around me. Everywhere I go, I prosper. Everything that I do prospers. I carry life. I am a life giver. The moment I start acknowledging what is inside me, I am releasing it. That is what happened. So acknowledge what God has done for you. And that's the way ahead for us today. Today we're doing part two of We Have a Spiritual Reality. We have spiritual reality. So let's tap into it. Don't live just like a natural person. You are more than just a natural person. You are a child of God. If you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are a child of God. Amen. Praise be to God. Can we close our eyes? Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to listen to your word. Thank you for the understanding you've given us this morning, that we have a spiritual reality. That reality is what gave birth to the natural reality that we have. The Bible teaches us that we first lived in the spiritual realm before we came to the natural. And you, Father, the source of it all, live in the spiritual realm. Father, we thank you that in Christ Jesus, you have raised us up and you've seated us with Christ at your right-hand side, Father. We are in that spiritual realm. Father, thank you for the acceptance that we have in this spiritual realm. Now, Lord, this morning, Father, as you have shown us in your word what belongs to us, we take this opportunity to say we partake in this spiritual realm. Jesus Christ, thank you for setting us free. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us life and life in abundance. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you took away all of our sins. You've washed us clean. We are clean before you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making us the righteousness of God. And it's not by our doing, but you have given it to us. You became sin for us so that we can become God's righteousness. We are accepted before God the Father. Thank you for this acceptance, Father. And Lord, today as we leave this place this morning, we leave this place with the knowledge that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we will walk in the spiritual realm and we will bring to effect all that, Father, you have done already in the spiritual realm in the name of Jesus Christ. So we receive right now your prosperity upon our lives, Father, in every area of our lives, Father. In our spiritual lives, in our souls, in our bodies, in our finances, and in our social lives, Father. We receive your provisions, Father, in Jesus' name. We declare that we are the head and not the tail. We are on top and not beneath. We come behind in no good thing. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you praise for that, Lord. And I pray for us, your people, Father, as we start this week, I pray that, Lord, we will understand more and more of all that you've given to us, Father. And as we receive that revelation, Father, we receive that we walk in the things that you've provided for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you praise. Hallelujah. Amen.